7. And you know, all we have to do is count our blessings. And we'll have a heart of thankfulness and gratitude. And every day, if we'll just thank God for some things, a thankful heart, or we'll begin to thank God, they'll have a thankful heart, and then produce a thankful spirit. Amen. And the Bible said, in everything, give thanks. Amen. That don't happen overnight, does it? And it don't happen on accident. We have to do it on purpose. Amen. And so, Joshua chapter number 7, I want to preach a few minutes tonight from really just one verse of Scripture. And if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the reading of God's Word, we'll read this verse, and I'll not preach long tonight, but give you what the Lord has laid upon our heart. Joshua chapter number 7. I want you to notice in verse number 1. The Bible says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Father, Lord, I want to thank you tonight for your presence in this place. Thank you for all the good singing that we've heard, for the testimonies, Lord, how you've just blessed us today with your presence. And I ask you now, Lord, if you would, these next few moments, I pray that you would give us a special touch. I pray, God, that you would, Lord, fill our mouth with exactly what needs to be said. Help us not to say or do anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to every heart. I don't know anybody's heart tonight, but Lord, you know all of our heart. Lord, we don't even know our own heart. It's desperately wicked, God. And we pray that you would reveal to us whatever needs to be dealt with in our life. I pray the Holy Spirit right now would have his will and have his way. And for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you for it. For we do love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice with me in this verse of Scripture that when we come to chapter number 7 here, of course, the children of Israel has entered into the land of Canaan. And in chapter number 6, they have experienced great success. But now they're about to experience great failure. And the reason they're going to experience this great failure is because of sin. There's three things in this verse that we ought to think about when we consider verse number 1. Because God is going to tell the story in chapter 7 about Achan and his sin. But before he tells the story in one verse, God is going to reveal, he's going to make a statement about sin. And when we think about this verse, notice these three things. First of all, I want you to see the sin here. This is a verse that is about sin. It's about disobeying the commandment of God, as we'll see here in just a few moments. But in this sin here, I want you to see in this verse that God acknowledges this sin. You see God's acknowledgement towards sin. He knows about it. Before he tells the story, he gets very detailed in who is guilty and what takes place here. So God's acknowledgement about sin, and then it tells us about God's anger concerning sin. The Bible said that the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And so God, and then God's accuracy about sin. God is correct in what he is saying about sin. You'll note that everything that God says about Achan in verse number 1, we'll read about it throughout the rest of this chapter. If you was to go home and read it tonight, you would have to say, well, what God said about Achan and his sin in verse number 1 is true throughout the rest of that chapter. So when it comes to this verse here, God talks about sin. He acknowledges it. He's angry about sin. And then God is accurate. You know, what you and I should take from that tonight is if God points out our sin, we ought to remember he acknowledges our sin just like he acknowledged Achan's sin. Amen. And God gets angry about our sin just like he got angry about his sin. And God is accurate. Amen. When the man of God preaches on our sin, my sin or your sin, you don't get upset at the preacher. You know that it's not the preacher, but you know that it's God working through that vessel trying to get your attention. So it's about sin tonight. And then secondly, it's about stealing. Amen. Because the Bible said in the middle part that talking about Achan being of the tribe of Judah, notice this, he took of the accursed thing. In other words, he stole. He took what he wasn't supposed to. He took what did not
belong to him. Amen. You go back to chapter 6 and verse 19. You can read it there. God makes it very clear in verse number 19 that, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall not come into, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So Achan knew that what he was taking didn't belong to him, but it belonged to God. Amen. And so he's dealing with stealing here. And God is always going to deal with thievery. Amen. I know he saved a thief, and thank God he'll show mercy on a thief, but that thief had to come clean. Amen. And tonight, if you and I are guilty of stealing, that's one of the commandments. Amen. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. But here Achan stole this, as we'll see, and it had great effect. You know, a lot of times people steal in different ways, don't they? Amen. But I want to tell you, God sees it, God knows about it, and God will deal with it. So it deals with sin, it deals with stealing, and then it, of course, deals with sovereignty. Because it is God that is calling this out. It is God that is acknowledging it. It is God that is bringing it to the forefront. Achan's not going to bring his sin up. Joshua doesn't know about his sin, but God knows about it. And God is going to talk about it. I want to say this evening that's true about us. You and I, oftentimes, we're not going to bring our sin up. And others may not know about our sin. But there is a God in heaven that sees all. He knows all. And I promise you, he's going to deal with all. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on how God views sin. How God views sin. How, because of my voice, I'm not going to run wide open tonight, but I'm going to give you what God gave me. And I want to tell you this tonight. Maybe God wants us to slow down and just listen for a few moments. Because our churches today, that we're living in a time when we don't hear sin preached on as cataloged as what we used to. There's a general preaching on sin. And there's nothing wrong in a sense. Sometimes we have to preach in a general sense when dealing with sin. But then there are times like in this verse when we're to be pointed about sin. And there's people living in a time when people don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to confess their sin. They don't want to admit their sin. They don't want to own their sin. But in this text here, God, I'm interested in how God views sin. Joshua didn't know about it. Israel didn't know about it. Achan wasn't going to tell it. God is bold in this verse, and he has a clear view about sin. I want to say this tonight. God knows every sin I have ever committed. He knows every sin I'm going to commit. And God will forgive us if we'll confess our sins. Thank God he is faithful. He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But God will always deal with premeditated sin. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews that if we sin willfully, there remaineth no sacrifice. You know what the sacrifice did in the Old Testament? It rolled the judgment of God away. And so what God is saying is that if we go against God's law, we go against God's command, in other words, we sin against light. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what we're not supposed to do, but we go ahead and do it anyway. Amen. In other words, God told Achan, and he told all of Israel, this is to be brought into the treasury of the Lord. This is not to be taken. It's not to be kept for your personal gain or for yourself. He knew that. He also knew the consequences, but he did it anyway. God said, there remaineth no sacrifice if we sin willfully. What does that mean? Preacher, does that mean I can't find forgiveness? No, that's not what that means. What that means is you won't stop God's hand of judgment. I won't stop God's hand of judgment. There's going to be chastisement. There's going to be a price to pay when I sin against the light of what I know and the Holy Spirit tells me not to do so. So I want to think about this tonight. How does God view sin? I don't think it matters what the modern preacher says about sin. I don't think it matters what the liberal preacher says about sin. I don't think it matters tonight as much about even what people we look up to, what they say and what in and of themselves they think about sin. What really matters is what God says about sin and how God views that sin. You see, if you're sitting here tonight, I don't know anything, I'm just preaching, but I got a good feeling that God's probably speaking tonight. But if you've got something tonight you're thinking about or something you're already engaged in, that you say, well, nobody knows about this. My pastor don't know about it. My preacher's wife don't know about it. Maybe you say, my parents don't know about what I've done or what I did. You say, maybe my spouse doesn't know about this. You might even say, this is only just in my mind right now. God knows the very thoughts and the intents of our hearts tonight. You know what God knows? He knows everything that I did last night. He knows everything you did last night. I remember being a teenager and hearing preachers get up and preach on sin. And boy, they'd look at you while they was preaching. I mean, they would study a congregation while they was preaching on sin. And you know what I do sitting there? I starting to do inventory. Have I done something they know about? Is there something they know that I've done is anything coming up? You know, have y'all ever been that way? I mean, they'd get to preaching on sin and they get to looking at you and staring you down. I think, well, I start checking up. Now, listen, I haven't killed nobody. I haven't committed adultery. I'm 16 years old, not married. Amen. And I just go down through all, I've committed fornication. I hadn't played the lottery. Amen. Lying, we're not going to talk about that. Amen. All right. Boy, when they looked at you, you knew they walked with God, didn't you? We need more of that preaching in our churches today. They preached on repentance and sin, and people repented and got victory over their sin. They had victory. The church was cleaner. The church had power. You know why people shouted and worshiped like Brother Laddie talked about years ago? They wasn't living in sin. It didn't mean that they weren't sinning. There's not a day went by that I haven't sinned in some way. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. Thank God there's forgiveness for our sins. Amen. I'm going to say here, this is not just any other day. I'm telling you, this is serious business. So how does God view sin? I want you to notice the charge in verse number 1 here. Look at God interrupts them. The first word is the word but. They just had victory. They just had great success. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. I notice the interruption here. God interrupts their success. God interrupts their victory. God interrupts their cheerfulness, their spoil, their celebration. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't care how much victory we've had. God doesn't care how much success we've had in the past. It doesn't matter if it was 5 minutes ago. God doesn't care tonight how much celebrating we are doing as a whole. I mean, they was happy. They were celebrating what they just got a victory. I'm going to tell you something. God didn't care. When sin is going on, God is going to call it out and he's going to deal with it. The interruption in this charge, the involvement. Look at this. The Bible says, but notice the children of Israel committed a trespass. And if you look at the last phrase of verse 1, it says that the anger of the Lord was kindled not just against Achan, but against the children of Israel. It almost seems unfair that God would hold the entire nation accountable because of one man and his sin. You say, Brother Gravely, is that fair tonight? It's fair in this sense. It's fair in the sense that God gave them all a clear commandment. It's fair in this sense that they should have been watching. They should have been keeping a check. There should have been a perfect, there should have been a very detailed inventory. You see, they became casual with the commandment of God. And what happened was sin entered in. That's what happens in our church. That's what happens in our home. When we just become casual and we don't keep close inventory and we don't keep the reins tight on what's going on in our homes, in our lives, it may not be you that has hid something, but it may be a family member that has hid something that's a cursed thing. And God is holding everyone responsible. responsible. This is a very carnal illustration, but I'm sorry, it's the best way I would know how to give it. It would be just like a football player scoring a touchdown. The entire team gets the victory, don't they? If he scores that touchdown and he wins that game, it's not just him that won the game. It's the entire team, isn't that right? They don't say, well, he's the winner. No, they call that team out. They get the victory. That's how it was in chapter 6. They got the victory. But on the other side of that coin, if they're on the goal line and they give the ball to that running back, and listen, he fumbles that ball, and the other team recovers it, and the time runs out on the clock, and they lose. Guess what? He fumbled the ball. But they all lost, didn't they? I want to say it proves what the Bible says, Romans 14 and verse 7, that no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. I want to say tonight that sin has a rippling effect on everyone around us. And this proves here the iniquity is that they committed a trespass in the accursed thing. When God puts a curse on it, that curse is going to come on anyone that puts their hand on it. Amen. You say, what would that be equivalent to? Like liquor, amen, or like beer, amen, like booze I'm talking about. It's an accursed thing, amen. But we have a lot of people nowadays that go to church and they've justified their drinking, amen. They'll go out to the local restaurant and they'll order them a wine cooler, or they'll order some beer in a bottle, or they'll get them something to drink, and they found ways to twist scripture and justify it. But God said that thing's a curse, amen. We're not to put our hands on what God puts his disapproval on, amen. And God said this isn't yours. And what I'm saying tonight, there's a charge, and you and I ought to look at this verse tonight. This is the lesson for me. I should look at this verse and see how God views sin, that my sin is going to affect my household. My sin is going to affect my church. My sin is going to affect my community. It's going to affect me and everyone around me. Charge is this tonight. As a family unit and as a church, we must keep ourselves clean. You know what? Adultery would rip this church apart, wouldn't it? If two families in this church, two individuals committed adultery in this church, it would be terrible, wouldn't it? I can go ahead and tell you how it's going to go if it happens. Somebody's leaving, if not both. Amen? Somebody's leaving? Because how are they going to stay together? How's two families going to go to church together? Amen? I know there's grace. But I'm telling you one thing, I'm not a fool neither. If I was going to put my marriage back together, work it back together, I'm not going to church and sitting in there, amen, with that adulterer right across the aisle. Now, I know, listen, you can swallow it or not. I'm just telling you, amen, I'm going to go somewhere else, or somebody's going somewheres. And Brother Gravely's not playing judge and jury. Amen? Just going to have to decide what you're going to do. Isn't that right? Well, you see how serious that is. You say, that's something I don't want to think about. It's something when you talk about it, you ought to get real quiet like it does. Amen? Because it's a sobering thought. But if we don't think about it, how many churches tonight have been ripped apart? How many churches tonight, I know a church, and I wouldn't dare call the church's name, where it happened once and it was not dealt with, and both couples were just allowed to come back to church as if nothing never happened. Well, it didn't just happen once. It happened a second time. Then it happened a third time, and now it's happened a fifth time. It's become a breeding ground for that sin in that church. You see what I'm saying? So I'd rather preach on it while it's not here, or if it is thinking about being here, I want to flush it right on out the door, don't you? Amen. For the sake of somebody's home, for the sake of somebody's children, and for the sake of this very church, amen, because we're not above it tonight, and the very thing we don't preach on is the very thing that will overtake our church, and so there's a charge here. That's how God views it, and it's how we ought to view it tonight. Not only the charge, but notice the cause. What really was the sin of taking this accursed thing? Well, number one, it was rebellion. Because God just told them, don't take it. You know, God has a right tonight. to tell me what to touch and what not to touch. Amen. A lot of people can't get past that because they're always looking for some loophole in the Bible that lets them do whatever they want to do. But I'm going to tell you something. There is precepts and there's principles in the Bible. A precept says thou shalt not or thou shalt. Isn't that right? It doesn't say thou. It does not say, I'm trying to think of it doesn't say thou shalt not buy a lottery ticket. There's no precept for that. But there is a principle. We're to be good stewards of God's money that he gives to us. Isn't that right? And for me to win means that others have to lose. And Christian living is about giving, not receiving. And it sure isn't about taking. Isn't that right? And so so there's a principle. There's no precept for that. If you came up to me and said, well, Brother Gravely, show me in the Bible where the Bible says thou shalt not go to the prom and dance. Amen? Because there's no precept that says thou shalt not go to the prom and dance. Amen? In fact, somebody wants to do wrong and take scripture out of context could even take where David danced before the Lord, and they could even say that there is a time to dance in Ecclesiastes, amen, but you got to put it in its context, amen. What I can tell you is that there's a principle in this book, amen, that teaches modesty, it teaches decency, and you don't boogie woogie, amen, you don't shake your booty, amen, to the old rugged cross, or there is a fountain, amen. I'm telling you, you got to be engaged in the world's music. Isn't that right? You got to be out there listening to that. And what is attached to that and what goes along with that is not anything that a Christian should ever be involved in. Amen. It's a principle. You know what goes on before a dance, during a dance, after a dance? During a dance, putting their hands on each other, flinging their bodies in a way that is provocative and seductive. I mean, we could just go on and on. I'm not preaching on dancing. That'd probably make a pretty good sermon, amen. But that ought to be preached on Sunday morning too, amen. I'm just simply saying that there's precepts in the Bible and there's principle. And when we know what those precepts and we know what those principles are, if we don't listen to it and we go against it, that's rebellion. Amen. Rebellion can be seen in a lot of forms and fashion. Rebellion's not always shaking your fist in the face of God. Sometimes rebellion can even look religious. Sometimes rebellion is quiet and it's sneaky and it's hidden, just like in our text. Achan, and it looks so innocent. Babylonian garment. I think 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, a weight of 50 shekels. It just looks kind of innocent. There's so much of it, and we're just going to take it and we're just going to hide it in our tent. It looks so simple, but God said that's sin. It was rebellion. Secondly, what was wrong? The cause of this sin was rebellion. It was robbery. Achan, in essence, who he stole from was God. Was God's. Now we look at that and we say, man, that's terrible. I mean, he ripped God off and God punished him for it. He robbed God. But you know, when that offering plate passes by and God has blessed us with a means to take money, I would never fleece the people of God. I'm not a pastor, and I'm not against pastors that do this. If that's what they want to do, that's their business. Amen. But if you was to walk up to me and ask me, Brother Gravely, do you know how much I tithe? I don't have a clue how much you tithe. I mean, years ago, I used to have to sign those things, you know, when they came through, and then I had an idea just because that's how it had to be done. But now there's other ways for tax purposes, you know. I don't have a clue what you give. And I don't want to know because I want to be able to just preach freely. Amen. I don't know if you're, I'm assuming everybody here tonight's a tither is what I'm going to go ahead and assume. Amen. But I don't know if you tithe or you don't tithe. But what I can tell you about tithing is that if you don't tithe, you're robbing God. Amen. You're doing the very same thing week in and week out when God gives you strength and health, when he lets you get out of the bed and go to work every day. He gives you a car to get you there and back and forth. He puts gas in our tank. And he gives you a good church to come and a good place to invest in so that you can reap dividends in eternity. If you don't tithe, hey, that's between you and God, but I can tell you it's robbing him. And God will always get his tithe. And in essence, you rob yourself. Young people, listen, start out tithing. You tithe. You be faithful. It's not, you don't tithe to the preacher. You don't tithe to the local church, but you tithe to the Lord. I know I said this probably a few weeks ago, but when I put my offering in that plate, it loses my identity. Amen. That's why I don't take my tithe money and say, well, you know, old Joe here in the church needs a set of tires, and so I think I'll just write my tithe. You know, instead of giving my tithes, I'm going to buy old Joe a set of tires, you know, or I'm going to help Brother Freed, you know. I'm just going to be a help to a missionary this week. No, listen, you say, well, I'll just do that. No, listen, you give to the church, amen. If you need reimbursed, you go see Brother Wilson and get a reimbursement. Let there be a record, amen. But that tithe is not to be just divvied out any old way. That belongs to God. And he said, bring it to the place that I've chose to put my name and put it in a basket. Amen. And you just put it in there and it loses my identity. It loses your identity. It becomes his because it was his to begin with. Am I telling the truth tonight? And God gets the glory and the church gets the blessing and you and I get the blessing. God's fair about the tithe. Amen. He's more than fair. God says, you know what? Just bring me 10%. I could take the whole 100% because I get gave you the ability, I gave you the job and everything else, but you bring it on in here, and I'll tell you what I'll do. If you'll be faithful and trust me, I'll just open the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing enough that you won't even be able to contain it. Amen. That sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? I know God don't make deals, but the cause of this sin was that he robbed from God. I don't want to take anything that belongs to the Lord. And then there's the condemned here. Notice he talks about Achan, and he goes into great detail. The son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. The reason God does this is because he wanted to make sure there was no mistake about who it was that was guilty. God talks about the people in this, his people. He talks about his place of the tribe of Judah. He calls his own person Achan. He calls him out by name. That's how God views sin. When God deals with sin, he's very detailed in his sin. He's detailed in who is guilty. It was Achan. He's detailed in how much he knows about the individual, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. He's detailed in what he did. He took of the accursed. I mean, God, in just one sentence, he calls out his name, he calls out his tribe, he lays everything out of what he's did. Isn't that the way he deals with us? Oh, I'm telling you, when I've sinned, God deals with me. He's very pointed. He's very clear. When the man of God is up preaching, and he's preaching on sin, and he's dealing with something at that very moment while he's preaching. If you're guilty, you know it immediately. Is that right? Sometimes people will get mad, and I've not really had that a lot happen here, but sometimes people get mad and they leave and they go somewhere else, and they'll say, well, that preacher down there, he just mean-spirited. No, he's not. He preached on your sin. And people will go, well, I go down here because, you know, they don't condemn you down here. Well, we're not condemning you. But I'm telling you, if a preacher is preaching on sin and you're guilty of that sin and you're saved, guess what? You're going to feel condemnation. Well, I'm telling you, you say, how do you know that, Brother Gravely? I know it because I've experienced it. It can be the least little thing or it can be a serious thing. It can be an open thing or it can be a hidden thing. Isn't it amazing how that I know sometimes, and I don't do this a lot, but sometimes I'll preach a little short series, you know, here at the church, and sometimes I'll stop in the middle of one. It's just however I feel, you know, led of the Lord. But sometimes it amazes me, even in a series of preaching, how that sometimes something will come up, and then you'll be in that certain passage, you know, scripture, just going systematically, and all of a sudden it falls exactly at the same time, at the same period when something something is happening, and you have to know that's God. That's not, I mean, you're just preaching systematically, and all of a sudden you come to this passage of scripture and it's busting something head on, amen, and you just know, what are you going to do, amen? I'm not preaching directly to somebody, but I'm not going to preach around them either, amen? I'm telling you, friend, it doesn't matter who it is tonight. If God needs to call my sin or call your sin out, it's for our good and his glory, amen? And God knew that Israel would never have another victory if he didn't deal with this sin. I want to tell you something tonight. You'll never have another victory in your life if you don't deal with your sin. And God help me tonight. I don't ever want to get to the place where I say to the Lord in my heart, he can preach it all he wants to. I'm not changing. I don't care what he says. I don't care what they say down there at that church. I'm not changing. I'm telling you, when you get in that shape, you're in bad shape, aren't you? A person like that, if they ever get right, it could take total devastation to ever break them. I'd rather just stay tenderhearted and just wave the old white flag and say, Lord, yes, I'm guilty. Hey, there's mercy at that. I tell you tonight, it's a Sunday night. We're going to go home here in a little bit. I'm telling you, in this church, I don't even know why I'd be saying this other than just the Lord. If I was here tonight and I was contemplating doing something that I absolutely knew it was wrong and I absolutely knew it was sin, but I have somehow, if I had convinced myself that this is what I'm going to do and the consequences are not going to be bad, I'll tell you, I'd tear out of my seat tonight. And I'd ask God to show me mercy. Brother Laddie said it in his testimony. How many people tonight, their lives are ruined because of sin. The condemned in this verse, you see, sometimes God has to do that. Sometimes he has to just call an individual out. Sometimes he has to, I mean, and thank God. I'm telling you, thank God. We ought to be scared to death of sin. We ought to be afraid of sin. We ought to treat it like a viper tonight. I'm telling you, it ought to bring fear to our heart. Amen. Sometimes you can. I was going. It was back sometime last year, and man, I hadn't been in a shopping, an actual mall, and I couldn't tell you when. And I had to go in for something, and I was walking down through there. And I'm going to tell you something, just walking down through there, trying to look at the tile, I'm just being honest with you, I felt so dirty walking down through there. I said, dear God, as soon as I can get out of this place, I'm getting out of it, amen. And I'm not condemning you. Listen, you got to go to a store in a mall. I'm not here to condemn you for that. I'm just telling you, this world's wicked, and this world is vile. And I'm just telling you how I am. I'm flesh like everybody else, amen. And when I see those things when they're there, amen, it puts fear in my heart, because I know that greater people than me and you have messed up. Greater Christians have messed up. And I tell you, if there's anything I want to do by the grace of God, I want to finish. Don't you want to finish? I'd like to finish unblemished, amen. I'd like to finish without, I may not be the best Christian, but I don't want to finish with a ruined name and a ruined testimony, amen. I don't want to be like Achan. In this text tonight, I pray to God, if there's anybody here thinking about sin and it in a way that would be devastating, I pray that God would so put you under conviction right now. Then I won't say the consequences, and I'll be done tonight. In one verse, God deals with the charge, the cause, the condemned, and finally the consequences. He said the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. In verse number 1, there's a flame that's beginning to burn. The anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. That flame is starting to burn in verse 1, and it is stoked by the sin of one man. And it's going to come down on an entire nation. The most foolish thing a sinner ever said was that, well, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. That's the most foolish thing a sinner ever said. Because in this chapter, you can go home and read it tonight. Because what one man did, 36 men lost their lives. That means 36 families was affected because of one man's sin. It means an entire nation lost a battle. A battle they should have won. I know they won it later, but they should have went from Jericho to Ai. They should have marched on in victory, but they didn't. They faced a sudden defeat, a surprising defeat because of one man's sin. Have you ever thought about this tonight? That your children could be hindered by your sin. I know people can take that to a point that's too far, but it's true. Amen. Our sin can affect our children. They don't have to be ruined by our choices. Amen. But I want to say tonight, we can have a positive effect or we can have a negative effect on them. And I don't know, a lot of times when people, and I keep going back to adultery, I want to get away from it. God knows I want to get away from that tonight. But I'll tell you, when people do, when they commit that sin, I don't think they ever stop and think about their children. I don't think they ever stop and think about the devastation of their spouse. How it makes the humiliation that it makes them feel. You know? I'm telling you tonight, God give you a spouse. You ought to thank God for it. I've never seen one adulterous affair be blessed. Amen. Brother Gravely, I know somebody it happened to, and they got saved after that. And you see the surface. You see the surface. And that's all we see is the surface. But God told David the sword would never depart. Well, I'm telling you, that scar runs deep. And I never want to know about that scar tonight. And I would say that the consequences is seen and how the Lord was angered, how the Lord was against. Notice this, the anger of the Lord was kindled. Notice this, against. That alone is almost fearful, isn't it? I don't want God to ever, his anger to ever be kindled against me. You ever just got, you put it in mildly, put it in a good illustration. You watch the news. You know what happens? If you're a patriot, if you're a Christian, your anger gets kindled against what those politicians, doesn't it? That's why I don't watch much news. I watch enough to keep up with it, or I look at it on my phone or listen to just enough to keep up with it. Because if I get my head stuck in that, man, I'm telling you, it'll consume you and you'll get angry, won't you? Your anger's against it. And then what happens if you stay in it too much? You know what happens then? You get a bad spirit. You get a bad attitude against everything. When you read this, you realize everything's all right in heaven. I don't want to stick my head in the sand, but I also don't want to get so far into that I lose sight of who the real king is. Amen. And what's happening at the same time. But your anger is against that. Say, Brother Gravely, I don't want to get out in sin like that. I don't want to mess my life up. I don't want to, you young people say, Preacher, I'll never want that to happen to me. I'll tell you how to never let it happen. You be angry at what God's angry about. That's what that verse means when it says be angry and sin not. How can you be angry and not sin? You be angry about what God's angry. You hate what God hates. God hates adultery. You and I ought to hate adultery. Amen. God hates fornication. We're to hate fornication. Amen. Hey, God hates all these things that are... Hey, God hates seven things doth the Lord hate. Amen. God hates pride, and we ought to hate pride, amen? When we see just an ounce of it come up in our life, we're to hate it. We're to view it the way God views it. God hates sowing discord amongst the brethren, amen? You see somebody sowing discord, you run from it, amen? Because God hates that. Don't love what God hates, amen? You be angry at what God's angry at. He hates a proud look. He that soweth hands that shed innocent blood, amen? These are things that God hates. Amen. Tonight, I just want to say this in closing as they get us a song ready. The consequences and how the Lord was angered, how the Lord was against. And I remind you again how that the Lord was accurate. The Lord didn't miss it, did he? And I want to tell you tonight, when God deals with sin, he never misses it. A good indicator is that whenever you and I are reading the Bible or hearing preaching, when it just strikes you right in the heart and it hits the bullseye, right then respond to it.